Let me be straight with you. This is a radio commercial for Three Small Business Insurance. The policy has no fine print. It's clear what's covered. So while you can't see the following scene, just know that this pet store is protected by Three.
Joe, did you leave the snake tank open?
Look, I don't want to point fingers, but yes.
It's biting me! Sorry, sir! I'm calling my lawyer.
They're going to need some help with this mess. Luckily, they have Three. No fine print, just exceptional coverage. Three is a product of Berkshire Hathaway Direct Insurance Company. Three. No nonsense, just common sense.
Well, it's 4:03 in the Rocky Mountain West. And it's Karen Cataline sitting in for Stephen Tubbs, who we hope will make a quick recovery. Nobody knows exactly when he'll be back, but I think, a few weeks is what I hear. Whatever it is, we hope he's making a speedy recovery. And people say their prayers for him. I'm sure he'll be fine, but that's always important. Keep people who are not doing well in your prayers, like the country, the state of Israel, for one thing, would be nice. It's so interesting. We used to, this is a digression, I must say, for 4 years of Donald Trump, we either were not used to constant strife in the Middle East, or we were introduced to the possibility that peace was actually, could actually be possible, rather than superpowers using countries in the Middle East as their proxy for a much greater war. Not that there isn't already strife in the Middle East on its own, but that's the reason they hated Trump. See, I don't really think they hated Trump. I say that and people raise their eyebrow and went, what? He was more hated than anyone else. No, you know what? It was purely ideological. I believe that absolutely, and it's never been more clear now that he is sadly out of office. They didn't hate him. That was used as a blanket catch-all, Trump derangement syndrome. No, I think they were cold-eyed and very, very calculated, the strategists in the left. What they were doing is trumping up hate for Trump in order that anything they did to him would be acceptable for people. But furthermore, it was ideological. And he stood for everything that they have been working to dismantle in this country. He stood for a strong America. He still does stand for a strong America. In fact, he's coming to Dallas in for a the CPAC, I believe, is either in June or July. After the Western CPAC, which is called the Western Conservative Summit right there in Denver. And by the way, we're going to have Jeff Hunt talking not only about the Western Conservative Summit in the last hour of the program, he's going to talk about a great piece that he wrote for Breitbart about how the West is turning to the left. And we can't allow that to happen. I know people who are much more optimistic than that, and that is necessary for us to keep keeping our eye on the ball. Nevertheless, let me get back to what I was going to talk about, which is I met Tay Anderson when I was singing at one of the two rallies at the ICE facility in Aurora. There was this fellow who was so obnoxious. This was before he became was voted onto the school board, and he was using a bullhorn to scream in people's ears. I'm sure you're quite familiar with that story. And now he seems to be in a heap load of trouble. And I watched, and congratulations to Jimmy Sangenberger on his piece in the Washington Examiner, the very latest of which is entitled Democrats Silent on Sexual Assault Allegations Involving 62 Children. And I'm not ashamed to say, because we are not the party that is afraid of disagreement, that I disagree somewhat with Jimmy about whether he should we should call for Tayanders's resignation. And I did hear this discussion mentioned by some callers. I'd like to know what you think. So I'll give you my position. And when I think about it, as awful as the charges are, this is something that is becoming more common all the time, that we charge people and punish them because of the severity of the charges rather than going back to the rule of law. And while I know that Jimmy addressed this somewhat, that somehow you can't do that, I don't think if the severity of the charges is the measuring stick by which we decide to follow the rule of law, then we're in trouble. And it's a marvelous teaching opportunity for a population that will soon be voting. I don't think they're children. They're dealing with adult issues. They're being thrust in adult issues. We might as well give them a greater clarity as to what the United States of America and the Constitution says about due process. And first, you do the charges. Then you look at the evidence. Then you decide, and then you punish. So what I'd like to see, although Jimmy is way more familiar with the nuts and bolts of this case, I would like to see him be suspended from his position until this is properly adjudicated. Not only does that treat people like adults, because to call high school kids in today's world children, I don't agree with that. I think kids are being treated like adults when they're seven, and that is atrocious and wrong. And that is, again, what the left does. Tries to push gender politics on grade schoolers. This is outrageous. I don't think 10 years ago we would have ever thought of such a thing, and yet it happens regularly. But when kids are getting ready to go to college, this is a marvelous opportunity to teach them about due process. I don't care how many charges there are. We don't want to Kavanaugh even Tay Anderson. But I don't think he should have any responsibilities of any sort until this is, quote, sorted out. So anyway, the number here, you can call me and tell me what you think, because you've been following this. Do you think that Democrats should be speaking out about Tay Anderson, either calling for his resignation or defending him if that's what they want to do? I think it would be interesting to see them defend him, which they might very well do, given the hysteria of the Me Too movement just 2 years ago. So 303-696-1971. If you have some thoughts on Tay Anderson, by all means, give me a call and let me know what you think. I have another thought about this. When I heard that the great majority of the people that he is alleged to have assaulted were illegal aliens, I'm not going to call them undocumented, that's just buying into leftist lingo. They were illegal aliens. And what has the left told us again and again about why we have to be nicer to illegal aliens who enter our country illegally? Well, because we can't have police recognizing that they're illegal aliens. We can't have one law enforcement agency talk to another law enforcement agency, share information about illegal aliens, potentially report them, because they won't report a crime. They'll feel too afraid to report a crime. And here you have a supposed champion of illegal aliens abusing illegal aliens. And while I'm not going to paint everyone with a broad brush. This is an example, an illustration of exactly what the left does. They take a faux moral high ground on an issue. They claim that the misguided, preposterous policy, which is either to defund the police or any other system, anything that they don't like and they want to effect a change on for their own reasons, and then turn right around and commit the exact crime that they're claiming they want to prevent. Remember some years ago when all of a sudden out of nowhere, the left was talking about bullying, right? They're bullying people. They're bullying them. We have to stop bullying people. And what has happened in just a few years? They have become the bullies, right? So how come they never take their own advice? Well, that's because they never do that sort of thing. So you've got a guy who is caught or accused, alleged to have committed horrible crimes against illegal aliens, and yet he's supposed to be the champion of them. It reminds me a great deal of the theory I have of the poison apple. By the way, if you'd like to chime in, you don't have to. We don't believe in force around here. It's voluntary. 303-696-1971. 303-696-1971. So I was trying to think, what is a good analogy here? Because I'm always looking for analogies that can further clarify what I'm talking about. Sometimes for people who have not yet awakened to the fact that the promise of socialism and communism is a false promise, isn't just a false promise, but it's horribly wrong-headed by people who've never experienced, who don't know it. And I won't tell you that I know it, but I know a little bit of history. Maybe not a lot, but I know a little history. And so with one hand, the left has de-edumacated the young so that they don't know what America stands for and what America was built on. And with the other, they make socialism and communism just another economic system. I know that I'm moving on, but this is Tay Anderson. People have asked me, well, Tay Anderson, as far as I know, is an avowed communist or socialist. If Tay Anderson would like to call here and disabuse me of that notion, by all means, please do. But communist socialists, number one, never have to live up to the standards that they set for everyone else by virtue of the fact that you see our elected officials behaving like privileged characters. They don't have to wear a mask, but you do. They don't have to curb their travel, but you do. They don't have to respect illegal aliens and treat them like human beings, but you do. And they get to lecture you about it besides. So I have a theory that one of the... Stephen Tubbs does a wonderful feature every week on movies. And I've discovered that Hollywood movies, if used for the right purpose, can be used very well to make certain points. And I've made those points. We're going to get ready to hear an audio from the great Disney film Snow White. I got to thinking about Snow White, and this is the promise of socialism. If you just do as we say, all your dreams will come true, right? That's what they say. You won't have to want for anything. You're going to get all your wishes. Your wish is my command. There'll be utopia. You've heard all that utopian nonsense. But people fall for it. Why do they fall for it? Is it just that they're gullible? Or is it that they're greedy? What is it? Well, the great stories in Hollywood, which is ironic because Hollywood is so left-wing, but if you go back to some of the great films of the past, They teach marvelous lessons that we can use in pop culture to counteract views like Tay Anderson, right? Tay Anderson is for all intents and purposes, a socialist slash communist who is committing crimes thinking he's not going to be caught. Well, he needs to be subjected to due process and the American justice system. What he is accused of doing is a crime, is a serious, profound crime, and he needs to be charged if he is, if there's enough evidence to charge him. But let's hear, if we can, I think it's cut three, forgive me. I think it's cut three.
Because
Snow White.
You've been so good to poor old Granny. I share a secret with you. This is no ordinary apple. It's a magic wishing apple.
A wishing apple?
Yes. One bite, and all your dreams have come true.
Really?
Yes, girlie. Now, make a wish. And take a bite. There must be something your little heart desires. Perhaps there's someone you love.
Well, there is someone.
I thought so. I thought so. Old Granny knows a young girl's heart. Now take the apple, dear, and make a wish.
How about that? We're going to talk about this when we get back. We got to take a quick break. Karen Cataline filling in for Stephen Tubbs. That is the Wicked Queen. That's who it is, offering a shiny, pretty apple. We're going to take a break right now. 710 KNUS, and it's News Talk. 710 KNUS. This is the Stephen Tubbs Show. Welcome back to the Stephen Tubbs Show. Stephen is recovering and is getting lots of prayers from loyal listeners to News Talk 710 KNUS. Karen Cataline filling in. It's been a dusty... I haven't been in the saddle at KNUS for a long time, but I'm starting to get emails from people who do remember me, and I really appreciate that. That is so great. So if you'd like to email me, because I can't give out a text number. I am, as you know, in Texas, but I have plenty of my heart still in Colorado. Always will. A lot of relatives are buried there, that's why, but that's sort of a dark, dark thought. Anyway, if you'd like to email me, I would welcome your emails. I'm also all over social media. Yeah, I'm still on Facebook and all that. And it's Karen at KarenCataline.com. That's all it is. KarenCataline.com. You can find all the op-eds that I write. And I do a lot of shows, nationally syndicated and otherwise. But KNUS is special to me. Probably why I'm always a little bit butterflies when I do KNUS. I don't know what it is. It's like when they say you can't go home again. Well, I do keep going home again and again and again. And I love every minute of it. We have a caller on the line. So, yes, I am reading your emails. I would love your emails. And when I get a chance, if you include your email address, because the WordPress doesn't come through with your email address, I will be more than happy to respond, probably after the show, not during the show. And I thank you for your email. Not everybody wants to call on the air, and I understand that. But we have a caller right now, Jan in Littleton. You're on News Talk 710 KNUS with Karen Cataline.
Hey, Karen, good to hear your voice. What a nice surprise.
Thank you. Yes, I'm glad to be here. And what's on your mind, Jan?
Well, I have to say, I do agree with you on your assessment about Tay Anderson. But one of the things that concerns me is he was the champion for getting rid of the school resource officers. And I think this makes a case, regardless of where this ends up happening, this is a great case study for why you should have school resource officers, not only for the external potential threats, but the internal potential threats to students. And I wonder,
well,
and I haven't really heard many people talk about this, Karen. And what also concerns me is you had prominent Democrats, like from Denver City Council, Candice DeBaca, young woman, up and coming, totally behind getting rid of this, the school resource officers, totally aligned herself with Tay Anderson, as did, if you recall, because you were here when all this was going on, Representative, State Representative Leslie Huron was a very huge supporter of Tay Anderson, and I believe she was one of the sponsors of probably one of the most punitive bills that became law against law enforcement last year. So I'm very concerned that these voices, to your point, who are talking about, you know, getting rid of ICE and how we have to treat illegal aliens and the fairness and so forth, are now out, not out there at least saying, hey, we don't know where this is headed, but we want to make it clear that this is absolutely not acceptable under any circumstances.
Jen, it's great to hear your voice, too. And I have so many good friends and people I really care about in Colorado, both in Greeley and in Denver. And what you're saying is such an important point because, in fact, it creates a circumstantial evidence for a case against Tay Anderson. Let me tell you what I mean.
Yeah.
It's only criminals that want to get rid of law enforcement, right?
Right.
Why would you want to get rid of law enforcement if you're not a criminal? Well, law enforcement are the people that stop you from doing what it is you want to do. That's
right.
A circumstantial case, but I see that as one of the reasons why the criminal lawless lawmakers want to keep law-abiding citizens weak and defenseless. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Well, I think you're making an excellent point, is that why wouldn't we want to keep good students and people who are trying to abide by laws, getting their education safe? Why would we want to cater to an element, a very small percentage of an element, that is bullying and hurting and affecting the rest of the school, right? I mean, really, the SROs are only there to create some sort of equilibrium of safety, both internal and external to the school. Why would anybody, to your point, what would be the modus of trying to get rid of that? That pipeline, remember they use that term, pipeline from school to prisons, that somehow was going to stop the pipeline? No, what they are doing is creating an unsafe environment within the school system by getting rid of anything that gives them students a feeling of safety.
Uh-huh. Well, and the fact that they justify it by saying that this is the upside down thinking that we are being presented with in an alternate universe.
Right.
The law enforcement are the bad guys and the criminals are the victims.
Yeah,
exactly. Law-abiding citizens are really the perpetrators, and that's why it's important to let criminals out of jail during a pandemic and lock up the law-abiding citizens in their homes. That's the alternate, you know, universe that we're living in here. Let me ask you one more thing before I have to let you go, Jan. And that is, so do you agree with me? Not that you have to. We're the people that don't mind disagreement. do you agree with me that I want to see this case completely adjudicated and make him stay there without any voter, without any authority, suspend his position, make him stay there until this case is properly seen through with due process, and either if he's charged, he should go to jail.
Not only do I agree with you, I would like to see Democrats come forward and say the same exact thing. I hope this is a huge lesson for Tay Anderson in terms of suddenly, yes, we are talking about what's going on because it's only the prudent thing to do. Students may have been affected and injured in a horrific way. You have to talk about it. But at the same time, we're being balanced and saying, Tay, despite whether you like him or agree with him, deserves to have fairness and balance within the law and due process. But I agree with you. This is too big of an issue and too many alleged victims to allow him to continue to operate in a normal fashion within the school. I think that's
crazy. But there is a big difference between him having no authority, no power, which is the worst thing you can do to a Democrat, is take away their power and take away their reputation of being a star.
Right.
And there's a big difference between taking away their responsibility and calling for their resignation.
Exactly.
Because what we have done in the general, again, the culture of deciding, convicting, and punishing people in one news cycle is what we've had, right? The people that were trying to pound the door down in the Kavanaugh hearing, none of them had ever heard of due process. They had never heard that just because you're charged with something, no matter how heinous, doesn't mean you're guilty and you deserve to have your head lopped off.
But in the
current culture, they're being used by some very politically diabolical people who are only using them as pawns in their own game. And in fact, I hate to say it this way, but they're sort of cutting their own throat, too, by supporting such a system where they could be charged with something, sent off to prison without due process.
I'll leave you with this. It's very similar to free speech. There's absolutely ugly speech. There is speech we will never agree with. But at the same time, you either have free speech or you don't. In the same token, due process allows those who are absolutely innocent and those who have absolutely committed heinous crimes to go through the process equally and fairly. And that is what we expect. We do not know until all the evidence is in whether Tay Anderson is the ogre he is being alleged to be. And that's the beauty of our Constitution. That's the beauty of our Bill of Rights.
Well put, Jan. And thank you so much for the call. Always great to hear your voice.
Thanks for
participating. Karen Cataline filling in for Stephen Tubbs, who handles this issue, I'm told, quite a bit. I don't always get a chance to listen on Tay Anderson. And the point is, we are different than the left. We don't decide, convict, and punish people based on what they say. We do it based on actions. And if we decide that we're going to start deciding truth in that way, forgive me for not being as articulate as I'd like to be here. I'm a little bit overly passionate sometimes. But if we decide that it is the rule of law that we love, it's going to give us a bit of a blueprint on how we decide what's true and what's not. I think there is an enormous amount of propaganda, and people ask me, well, how do you know what to believe? Well, first, you don't do it based on, you know, who tells you, and you don't do it based on whether you like the person or not. We are being encouraged to make those decisions on subjective means. If you want to know what the left really thinks, look at their actions. Never look at their words. Don't look at their words, because the words are filled with, here's what we want you to think is the reason we're doing this. And that's, believe it or not, not just the left, although for the left, it's an actual political tactic. This is a political tactic that they use. They say, here, for example, is why we want to defund the police, because police are evil and they're racist. And we're going to keep ignoring the facts that say that police are not systemically racist, but we have to make you believe that's the reason we're doing it, so you'll go along with the policy. Why do we want this policy? Well, I'm at the end right before a break, but I'll tell you what I think. This could be conjecture, but it isn't. And that is, every totalitarian regime needs people that enforcers. Well, enforcers who are charged with the responsibility of taking an oath to protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, well, they're not going to do the bidding of an unconstitutional so-called elected official. They're not going to do it. So they need to get rid of, just like they did ideological questioning of people during the inauguration, and that stayed for months on end. The National Guard was there staying for months on end, and they were heavily questioned to make sure of their loyalty. That ain't America, folks. That ain't America. And so speaking out against this sort of thing is absolutely essential. I thank Jan for the call. When we come back, we're going to make a segue right into the Second Amendment. Boy, there's a lot of Second Amendment gun grabbing going on in Colorado, and I've got just the guy to break it up and talk about it. He wrote an article about Colorado's impending, awful, terrible, no good gun laws. We're going to talk to him right after this. Karen Cataline sitting in for Stephen Tubbs on News Talk 710 KNUS. Welcome back to the Stephen Tubbs Show here on 710 News Talk 710. I got to keep saying that. News Talk 710 KNUS. And it's Karen Cataline sitting in, having the pleasure of sitting in for Stephen Tubbs as he continues to recover. We're glad he's out of the hospital. Say a special prayer for his quick recovery. I know I will be doing that on Shabbos tonight when I light my candles. And gosh, every single one of our most fundamental rights are under attack right now. The monopoly of power in Washington resembles the monopoly of power in Colorado. And yes, that's one of the reasons I moved to Texas. But I give you an enormous credit if you are sticking around to fight for liberty, because you got to fight for liberty everywhere. So there won't be tyranny anywhere. I just made that up. We're going to welcome our guest in 1 minute. I just want to mention that I am getting lovely emails from people directly. Thank you. For some reason, my email does not give me your email address. I have to fix that on my website at KarenCataline.com. Jeremy, if you would send me, it says you'd like help with something. I would love to try to help you if I can, but you didn't write what you want me to help you with. So if you'd like to write back, send me your email address privately. Jeremy, no last name. I will do that. And other people are writing, talking about how hard it is a decision to decide whether to leave or not. I mean, it breaks my heart what's happening to Colorado, whether I'm there or not. And anything that I can do to help so that Colorado does not become an Iron Curtain state, I'm going to keep doing it no matter where I live. And to that end, I have a go-to guy who is associated with one of the stations that I do radio with in Nashua, New Hampshire. His name is Dan Wass. He is an absolute specialist in Second Amendment issues. He's an advocate and a spokesperson. Dan's been a great a guest on the Sean Hannity Show, NRA TV, and a lot of others. He wrote a book called Good Gun, Bad Guy, and Good Gun, Bad Guy 2. He's host of a program, a podcast called Loaded Mike Podcast, founder and president of three corporations, including House Detective, a home inspection and appraisal company. Hey, Dan, always good to have you on the programs that I do. Welcome to 710 KNUS.
Hey, Karen, always great to talk to you. Denver is lucky to have you today.
Oh, well, you're very kind. I have to say that when I saw, because I still get lots of emails from Denver, and when I saw the kinds of bills that they were running in Denver to basically roll back or repeal gun rights in Colorado, I sent you some of those bills, and you were kind enough and great enough to write a special article about it that you sent me, thetruthaboutguns.com, and the title of which, I encourage everybody to read it, Colorado Democrats Push Three Gun Control Bills That Would Put Citizens' Lives in Danger. You've analyzed some of these bills, and they are moving through the legislature with not enough votes to stop them from Republicans. Tell us about your analysis of some of this.
Yeah, it's a sad day for gun owners in Colorado, unfortunately, and I hope that call their legislators and demand that they that that they these laws, these bills get vetoed. If not, there are going to be some lawsuits, I would imagine.
I hope so.
And these are pretty bad. And this is coming from a guy from New York, so I've seen it all. But you've got, right now they've got there are three bills in particular. There's one that's called SB21-256. And basically what this bill does is signed into law. It would basically overturn the Second Amendment rights of Colorado citizens. And basically one of the things that this bill would do is be able to create more gun-free zones. You know, gun-free zones are probably the most dangerous gun bill, gun restriction that we've ever seen. And, you know, people look at gun-free zones who don't know any better, and they say things like, well, gun-free zones, good, no guns allowed, nobody's going to get hurt, right?
Yeah,
well,
just put a sign down, you know, like that nuclear-free zone. You put a sign for nuclear-free zone, it means nobody can drop a bomb on you.
Yeah, exactly. And the problem is a lot of people don't understand, and they vote for these people. So what this would do is basically Colorado would have gun-free zones popping up all over the place. People would not be able to defend themselves. We know, and gun-free school zones in particular, ever since Joe Biden introduced the 1990 Gun-Free School Zones Act and it was signed into law, school killings have nearly doubled since then. These are deadly zones. These are places where good people don't bring their guns because they don't want to get in trouble, and the bad guys know it, that they target these gun-free zones. So gun-free zones are very bad, and this is one of the things that SB 21-256 would do. There's another one called HB 21-1298. This one is, you know, it's just as bad. What it does is it creates a waiting period. And I'll give you a brief on the waiting periods. Waiting periods for gun purchase. Waiting periods should take no more than 15 minutes. We've got the technology to do background checks quickly. The problem is with the background checks, and now they want to push for universal background checks, which means every firearm would be under scrutiny, every purchase. The problem with these background checks is that they put good people, they deny good people. Over 112,000 denials in 2017, and 99%+ of those were false positives. What that means, good people are being denied their ability to purchase a gun because the background check system does not work. And what we have when we get these delays, now Colorado wants to push for a longer delay period. So in other words, if there's a question, and there could be a question for any number of reasons, similar social security number to a felon, you could have a similar name, similar address, whatever. Many different reasons why people can be flagged in a background check. Well, they've got up to 30 days. If they can't figure it out, then they have to allow the person to have their rights, which is a terrible way to even go about it. But what Colorado wants to do is change that now. They want to add another month to it. In other words, make the people wait another month to be able to purchase their firearm, just so they can try to find something wrong, try to find a reason to justify their denial. And it's a terrible thing. And there was a woman, I'll give you a little story. I don't know how much time we have, Karen, but I'll give you a little story on this waiting period.
We have some time. We have, we have about 3 minutes. And
okay,
I wanted to comment before you give the,
is the story short?
Well, I just wanted to comment because, you know, I look at things often in cockeyed ways, and I'm thinking when you said denies good people the opportunity to purchase a gun, and what we're fighting here is a conglomerate of folks who believe that the moment you want to purchase a gun, it makes you bad. Right?
Yeah, well, that's in the minds of the anti-gun crowd. The anti-gun left has all these thoughts going on in their heads.
That's correct.
And they project those thoughts onto other people.
And it's not true, is my point. It's not true.
That's exactly right.
It's like the comment I make about your book, Good People, Good Guns, Bad People. Is that it? Have I got that right?
Good Gun, Bad Guy.
Good Gun, Bad Guy. Well, the left believes... Huh? What?
The gun is good. It's people that can do
bad
things.
Right. And the reason... the left doesn't agree is because they believe that everybody's the same. There's no such thing as good and bad people. We all must be the same.
They do have a very strange way of thinking.
Yeah, well, yeah, and if we don't point that out, forgive me, we do only have about 2 minutes, and we have a hard break coming up. Boy, that was a quick segment. It's usually a lot longer.
Let me touch on the last, I want people in Colorado to push back on these bills. These are terrible. The third bill, HB 211299, would basically be able to create a gun prevention department within the health department, which would teach, they want to teach people how
That's
to
horrible.
Call red flags on their neighbors. They want to teach people how to look, people who don't own guns, they want to teach people how to look for guns that are improperly stored. They want to be able to create a propaganda company.
They're all into snitching.
Arm,
yeah.
And they want to...
We're
going
to have to take this to court because there really are not enough votes. They're going to push this through. Dishonesty is rampant. You are a great go-to guy on the Second Amendment, and I love calling you to talk about these things. Tell everybody how they can find you and your book, and then we're going to have to let you go real quick.
Thanks so much, Karen. Goodgunbadguy.com.
Goodgunbadguy.com. Okay, we got to run.
Thanks,
Sorry
Karen.
About that. Dan Wass is his name, 710 Canyon. We will be back after the top of the hour break. Stay tuned to the Stephen Tubbs Show.